Okay, so I'm starting. So today is Nazir Daf Tzadi Aleph. It's the last stop in Masechet Nazir, and I'll mention everyone else right before the Siyum. Okay, so in yesterday's Gemara, we mentioned in the Mishnah that there are three claims that women can make, and even without corroborating their claims, they're believed, even though as a result of those claims, the husband will have to divorce his wife, and they get the ksuba. And then later on, Chazal determined that the women can't be relied on. We're afraid that they have ulterior motives in making these claims, and in specifically that they want to marry somebody else, and so it could be a ruse in order to get divorced. So the first one, the three claims are that if she's an Eshet Kohen and she says, I was raped, so initially they believed her with the claim, and then subsequently they said, no, we don't. Then the second claim is if she says, Shemayim b'nila b'incha, which comes out that the way the Ran understands it in Smashman's way from the Gemara later on, she says the husband is impotent and she wants a divorce, and then later on they didn't believe her with that, and she wants kids. It's right up your alley, Jessica. And then the third claim is Netulani min Yehudim. She takes a neder that I'm prohibited in having relations with men. So initially they thought it's because she finds, you know, intimate relations painful, and then afterwards they, you know, did not rely on her. So the rely on them, they said he should be made for his chalek and leave everything else go. So Ran Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph, around 10 lines down, so the Gemara says, Ibailahu, eight lines down on Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. So it says, Ibailahu, the question was asked in the Beis Medrash, Amr Labala Gerashtani Mahu. What if a woman says to her husband, you divorced me, meaning there's no corroborating evidence. I guess there must have been Adam when she gave the get, but they're not around. And according to the Ran, let's look at the Ran on the second wide line in the Ran. He says, "Vinit kareya haget oshavad mahu lami naula tirali nasei." In other words, she says the get is ripped up, it's lost. I don't have a get, so she's facing the husband, whatever. And she says, "You divorce me. I want to get remarried." And do we, other people, do we believe her with that claim? So the Gemara says. Mahu. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Hamnuna Tashma. So Rav Hamnuna brings a proof from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Homera Tameani Lecha Da'afilu Mishnah Achrona De'Katani Lo Mehemna. So Rav Hamnuna tries to bring a proof from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if a woman says that I was raped, I'm an Ashes Kohen, even according to the Mishnah Corona that says she's not believed, he says, Hatim hu de Meshakra. So over there, we suspect her of lying. Why? Diyada debala lo yadaba. In other words, if she says, I'm raped, so who's here? The husband doesn't know one way or another. So we think that, you know, maybe she's lying through her teeth. Nobody knows the difference, and she wants to get away with it. So the Mishnah says, we don't believe her. He says, Aval Gabi Gerashtani Diyadaba, but by Gerashtani, he, the husband, certainly knows, you know, whether this is true or not. So Mehemna, so the Gemara says the woman would be believed, according to Rav Hamnuna, De Chazaka in Isha Mizapan Ebethe Baila. There's a presumption that a woman wouldn't be so brazen to lie to her husband in his face. So in other words, if she says Gerashtani, and this never happened, we don't think any woman would be so brazen to say that. So here, Rav Hamnuna wants to say, notwithstanding anything else in the Mishnah, we would believe such a claim. That's what Rav Hamnuna says it. So Amale Rava. So Rava says to Rav Hamnuna, Ad Rava, I think Punk Fakared. Jessica, you could look in the Gemara. It's around 12 lines down. Okay, I always tell people look in the Gemara. So Amale near the asterisk, around, you know, 15 lines down. So Amale Rava. So Rava says to Rav Hamnuna, Ad Rava, I think Punk Fakared. I feel the Mishnah Rishona, the Ketani Mehemna, even according to the Mishnah Rishona that says we believe the woman with her tainas, he says, Hata Mishum Delo Avid Labazuye Nafsha. In other words, we believe her because she wouldn't demean herself to make such a claim. In other words, it's very sort of demeaning, disgraceful from the woman's perspective to say that I was raped, something like that, to say these things, and if it's not true. So he says, so therefore she's believed. Here, with the case where she says, Gerashtani, you divorced me, sometimes Takiflam means she got stronger, actually got stronger as a result of having maybe a fight with her husband. And, you know, normally she wouldn't be so brazen, Rav would say, to say, you divorce me. But, you know, I have this, like, you know, we had this all-out fight, you know, throwing dishes, whatever, in the house. That's it, you divorce me. She could be me'iza. Me'iza u me'iza. So she says, so Rav says she would be brazen. Okay, let's just go over it again for the people who came in, and just to refresh our recollection. Okay, we have lots of Gemaras. Here's a Gemara for you. You know, no, that's the new Gemara. Here, take this Gemara. This will be much better for you. Okay?
Thank you.
Welcome. Yeah, what's your name, by the way?
Ben David,
Yishai. Yishai. Okay, welcome. Welcome, Yishai. Okay, so we're on Tzadi Aleph Man Aleph, around 15 lines down. So, the issue we've gotten into is if a woman says, Gerashtani, she says, you divorced me, and she says this in the presence of her husband, and there's no corroborating evidence. Do we believe her or not? That's the issue that we have on the table in the Gemara. So we had a machloket between Rav Hamnuna and Rava. So Rav Hamnuna says that there's a presumption that no woman would be so brazen as to lie through the teeth when she faces her husband and say, you divorce me, if that wasn't the case. And he says that even in the Mishnah Achrona, where we suspect her of lying that I was raped, that's because nobody knows one way or another. She's the only one who knows she was the rape. The husband doesn't know one way or another. But in Hakinami, if the husband, here the husband knows, so we believe her. That's what Rav Hamnuna says. And Rava says, no, I don't think so. Rava says, normally we would believe a woman that she wouldn't be Me'iza, but in this instance, he thinks it should be that she got, you know, what's the expression? He says, "Zim takif lom in gavra." She got strength from the husband. It means, we gotta help these people out here. Okay, so takif lom in gavra. She like drew strength from the fight, according to the way Rana has it, with the husband, and she would be amazed to say that way. And the and Rabbi wants to say that in the Mishnah, the litmus test is that if she went go through, it would be very embarrassing to say it. But here in this situation, in other words, she's saying Gerashtani. Okay, let's just see a few lines in the Ran, then we'll go on. Okay, now let's look at the Ran, second line in the Ran from the top. This is on the left hand column. In the Korea get this, we did already. So she would lie because the husband doesn't know one way or another. That's a tremendous disgrace for her to say that she was raped. She wouldn't say it. But takif lami gavra, she dikasa through her anger, titchazek ben abal, she like get strength to oppose the husband, lahaiz panimbo, to be so brazen, v'lomar lo gerashtani. Okay, that's the machlok we have so far. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? What's up?
What is the husband saying? He's just standing there saying what?
So maybe he's saying, you didn't divorce me, but the question is, what's the ne'emanus of the woman? In other words, the woman has this claim that we saw in the Mishnah there were claims that we believe the woman for, and then they chazru to say not this way. So the question is, in a halacha,
in those cases, the husband had no idea.
Well, that's what one side says. Well, that's what one side says. Okay, what's up?
One comment.
Yeah.
The question is, if a woman's raped by a non-Jew,
right?
Is, like they say, and she's married to a Kohen or the regular, non-Kohen, is it considered the same thing if it's raped by a guy?
Yeah, so this we discussed yesterday in the Ron. Did you listen to it yesterday?
Or
you
weren't,
this was at the end of the Daf.
So there's
a Ron at the end of the Daf, where he talks about, in other words, what's the halacha? Do we believe the woman on a derais level or don't believe the woman on a derais level? So the hesber that the Ran likes is that we normally do believe the woman to say that she's raped, but if that's the case, so how is it that they change the rule and say we're not going to leave her to stay married? In other words, if we believe that she was raped, so any Ashes Kohen that's raped cannot stay with her husband. So the Ran says that they used Avkin Rabban LeKiddushin Mineh. The Chachamim uprooted her Kiddushin. So in a case like that, Chachamim said, if she comes in and claims that she's raped, we, the Chachamim, are uprooting her original Kiddushin. So when she was raped, she wasn't married when she was raped. And then no harm, no foul. Or, you know, in terms of her ability to remain married. But then the Ran says, yeah, but what if she was raped by a non-Jew or a psul or a mamzer or a natin. He really says a mamzer or a natin, so the Ram says that would be problematical, and that's a kash against his pshat. With his pshat, right. Okay.
The comment I'm going to make is, it's not quite a migul, but the woman could, it's embarrassing to say she was raped, so but we could say she could have said, maybe his zera doesn't work, you know, so something less embarrassing. The fact that she chose such an embarrassing thing to say,
right,
would argue that we have to believe her, because she could have chosen another.
I do, okay.
It's like a migul.
That's what he wants to say. Okay.
Rather
okay.
Nowadays, in the halakha, if a woman is married to a kohen and she is raped by the goy,
right,
and she comes and tells her husband, if he does not believe her,
right,
believe that it's
right. There are svaras to say that she could stay with the husband. Now, Rav Schechter mentioned to me there's a sefer. It was written by somebody from the same town as the Rav. Please, I need everyone's attention. So it was written by somebody from the same town, Khaslovich, that the Rav came from. He said that he gives seven reasons why the woman should be able to stay with the husband. Okay, let's go a little bit further in the Gemara. Okay, well, that's Nazir. But we have a whole pile there in the corner. Okay. What? I don't know. I don't. What?
What are the reasons?
I don't know. Okay, let's just take a look. I mean, you could say here we're passing like Rav Hamnuna that you mean to believe, not to believe the woman.
Yeah.
Yes. So Lachor, I mean, one shot that comes, you know, in other words, it could be like Shavya Nafsha Chaticha. That's what it turns on, this far, Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Disura, that she only has a koach to impact herself, not other people. In other words, that would be the basic yisod. And then that's what Rav Schechter had mentioned to me, and we discussed this yesterday as well. And Rav Sobolovsky also spoke about that as well. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. Now, so we have the two tzadim, so we have the machlok between Rav Hamnuna and Rava. Okay, now, Mativ Rav Misharshi, around eight lines above where it gets wide, on Tzadi Aleph and Aleph. So Mativ Rav Misharshi. Now, Rav Misharshi is asking a kasha against Rava. Rava says that we don't believe the woman because, you know, sometimes she gets all, you know, excited and she'll blatantly lie, or even something like this. So Mativ Rav Misharshi, now this is from our Mishnah. Hashamayim b'ini l'veincha, the Mishnah Rishona. Now, in the Mishnah we learned yesterday, before they were chozer, if she says Hashamayim b'ini l'veincha, which we said means she says her husband is impotent, we believe her. Now, the way that Rava understood it, the Rava took it that we only, in other words, the only reason we believe a woman is because her claim causes her such embarrassment. In other words, the claims that she makes are so embarrassing to her, therefore the fact that she makes that claim, that's the litmus test why we believe her. But now, the second claim is, Hashamayim b'ini l'veincha, she says the husband is impotent. Right, so in the quarter we have other, over here, right. So in this one, Hashamayim b'ini l'veincha, that doesn't cause her embarrassment, it relates to him. So but nevertheless, the Tana Mishnah says that she's believed. So according to Rava, the litmus test is, you know, does she make a claim that nobody would make this claim if it weren't true, because it's too embarrassing. So that works well for the first case in the Mishnah, but what about the next case in the Mishnah? He says, Shemayim b'ini l'veincha. So the Gemara says, l'veincha, the Mishnah Rishona, tuyufta d'rava. So the Gemara says, hacha adleit la kisufa, there's no embarrassment for her, v'katari d'mnehemna, and we see that she is believed. So kasava rava, hatam, kim lo sagi lo, de lo amra, in yora kecheitz, ilo ita kitakamra lo amra le. So Rava says that in there is embarrassment as well, because she can't come into the Bezdin and say sort of euphemistically, Hashemayim b'ini l'veincha. In other words, the heavens were between me and him. It's like something that, you know, not saying anything explicitly.
She's got to say
even more explicitly that I'm mentioning here, that, you know, when he, like, he doesn't ejaculate so well and the things doesn't come off right, that's embarrassing for her as well. So in Achinami, Rava's able to explain it, that there is embarrassment in that case, and Mela, that's why she's believed. Okay, we have more Gemaras over here. Okay, thank you so much, Yosef. Okay, thank you very much. All right, so we're on Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. And okay, now we're three lines before it gets wide. Now we're asking another question against Rava. Rava says the woman is only believed if, you know, there's so much embarrassment, then we would believe her, but otherwise not necessarily. So Hashamayim b'ini l'veincha d'mishnah achrona to be tiyuf to the Rav Hamnuna. So now the Gemara says, I could take that same case, Hashemai b'ni l'veincha, the Mishnah Achrona, would be a kash against Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna says that that the woman is believed because she wouldn't, you know, be able to say anything, like she would never have such ha'azis panim. She would never be so brazen as to lie with the claim about gerushin to the husband if it weren't true. That's the way Rav Hamnuna. And the and we said that even the Mishnah Achrona, when she says that that she says that I was raped, so we don't believe her because nobody knows one way or the other. So we think that she's trying to get off with it. So now the Gemara says, Hashmai b'ni l'beincha the Mishnah Achrona to be'tiv to the Rav Hamnuna. Let's say the last case where the case is, she says in the Mishnah Achrona that she's not believed. She says that, you know, you're impotent. That's why I went out of this, and we don't believe her. V'hacha d'yadahi ubala yadaba. He says v'katani lo mehemna. So we see, according to Rav Hamnuna, she makes a claim that only she knows the truth, we don't believe her. But if she's making claim, in other words, according to Rav Hamnuna, a woman would never make like a brazen claim where the husband knows the truth, there she would believe. So here she's making a claim that you know, don't have relations with me in a way that could produce offspring, and yet the Tana Mishnah says, Lo Mehemna, she's not believed. So that seems like a kasha against Rav Hamnuna. According to Rav Hamnuna, she should be believed because she's making a statement that he knows the truth of, and nevertheless she makes it. So the Gemara says the first white line downstairs, Sava Rav Hamnuna, Hakanami Higufa Amra Nihi Debabia Yada Biorka Chetz Miyada. So Rav Hamnuna holds in that case as well. She says it, but she knows. I don't give such details here, but she knows they both know how the husband has intimacy with her, but only she's able to detect whether he's Yorik HaChetz, whether he shoots off, you know, the semen in the right way. Now, the Gemara says, there's another Gemara, I saw in the Masif, they said that it could be that he would know as well, but she thinks that way. So, therefore, Umishum HaKim Ishakra. Therefore, she would lie, and Mamela, let's just summarize. So, again, we're trying to understand, if a woman comes and says that my husband divorced me, and there's no corroborating evidence one way or another, do we believe her or don't believe her? That's the issue we've been discussing. So Rav Hamnuna says we believe her, because no woman would be so brazen to face her husband and say, you divorce me, if it's not true. That's what Rav Hamnuna says. And Rava says, these lying women. normally they wouldn't be brazen enough, but sometimes they get so wound up emotionally and so aggravated with the circumstances and angry at the husband that then what they normally wouldn't do, they would do. That's the way Rava. So the Gemara tried to ask kashas against both, and the Gemara did not paskin one way or the other at the end. And then, yeah. So the Ran says, if you look at the Ran, eight lines above where it gets wide, Ulein halacha kaimalan ka Rav Hamnuna. So the Ran says we hold like Rav Hamnuna. The isha sha'amar lebala gerush tani ne'emanet. He says that she is believed. The sugin bekula shas kivate, because that's the way it goes throughout shas to go do this way. Now, and he says that's the way the Ramban says it. Now he has more of a discussion about this, but I'm going to move on in the Gemara.
And she gets her ketubah.
And
she's not finding the ketubah here. She's just saying I was divorced.
Yeah. And then there was this case we're talking about where she said you divorced me. In other words, it's like water under the bridge. You divorced me already. So I don't know if she made a claim about the ketubah. I don't know about what it is. Yeah. So he says, yeah, the Ron does say, yeah. He says, yeah. So
if she's
trying
to ketubah, she's not
believed. So he says, let's go a little further in the run. He says here, Da'amra l'balik yerushtani ne'emanet, d'suyin d'kul shaskabatei, umadaminam l'alamanit, and shvaminah shlo l'hatir, b'balik nasayin ne'emanet, ela afli tol ketubah. So initially the Ran says she gets the ketubah, dumi d'manitin, just like you were saying, in some Mishnah case, t'tani yotzof v'od lo ketubah. And then he has other proofs, but then he says, he wants to say in the first white line, maybe it's just the Ikar Ksuba, not the Tosefek Ksuba. But all right, but
so wouldn't this be a good Eitza for the Aguna? Just come to Besdin and say he divorced me.
The aguno.
Free her, the aguno.
You mean that they would lie to? Mean,
she comes to Besdin. Comes to Besdin
and lie through their teeth.
That's what it is.
I mean,
free me up.
Yeah. Well,
he divorced me.
Yeah. Well, we don't teach people to lie before Besdin.
She still needs a get.
But
that doesn't solve the get problem.
No. Again. No. Michael, Aguna is the husband's not around anymore.
Or he refuses to give a get.
Oh, that's the case where he's recalcitrant. So right. Yeah. So the so.
They can also always use afkin ketubah.
Yeah.
Always, they don't use it.
Yeah.
But they
okay.
Could.
Okay. Let's see.
All right. Sounds like an eight.
Yeah. They could.
He says in the article, Ron and Tosis comment further, the woman is believed only if she does not demand payment of the ksuba. Thus, if she merely demands divorce, the husband must divorce her and pay the ksuba. But if she demands a divorce and the ksuba, the husband is not even required to divorce her, for we're concerned that she fabricated the claim in order to collect the ksuba.
So it'll cost her.
Yeah. Okay. The case with Aguna are very complicated, you know, and but I don't have more to say on that. Okay, now let's see further in the Gemara. We're going in for the kill. Okay, now we're three lines from the bottom at the two dots. Okay, everybody with me? Okay, now it's sort of some nice stories to end the Masechta out, and it's nice to have everybody here. Nice to have Chavra. Okay, Hahiyat to the Chuyoma to Tashmish. Please, I need everyone's attention. Okay. Hahiyat to the Chuyoma to Tashmish Mekad Mashiyade Lagavra. There was a certain woman. Every morning after she would have intimate relations with her husband, she would get up early and wash his hands. Yomachad atilamayilam masha. One day she gets up early to wash his hands. Amarlo, he said to her, Hadamilta lo habra idna. What's going on? We didn't have intimate relations last night. So she says, Amarle, imkain, if that's the case, Chad benachrim ahaloye dabu hacha idna. He said that there were these non-Jewish perfume sellers here yesterday, Iyantlo dilma minho. Maybe he was one of them. So the question is, now do we believe her or not? So Amar of Nachman, inananaba acher, vleitba mishasha bamila. He says, no, in a case like that, we don't believe her. We think that she's just looking, coming with a subterfuge to get out of the marriage. That's what we think. Now, he itta, it was this woman, Dilahaba Badika Daita Bahadigabra. She wasn't getting along so well with her husband that day. Amarlo Ha Idna Maishna. He said, what's going on? How come you're sort of, I don't know, sort of off kilter today? So Amarle, Meolam Lo Tsaratan Baderechera Tzkiya Idna. You never caused me so much pain in intimate relations like you did last night. So he says, Amarlo. Lo haba hadamilta, that wasn't me. So Amrlei imkain halei nachrim naftuye dehabu hacha haidna. So there were these non-Jewish naphtha sellers, you know, selling it's like things you use to, you know, to you're right, for fuel the lamps and things like that. They were here in Atlo. If you didn't have relations, Dilmachamin home and one of them. So Amar, and here the Bach takes out the word Lahu, Amar Rav Nachman lo tashchinin ba. Don't pay attention to her. No tenei neba acher havoy. In that case as well, we have to suspect that she has ideas and wanted to marry someone else. Then Hahu Gavro Dava Maharzik Beveta Huva Intita. There was this man that was alone in the house with a woman. Al Atamari Debeta parting away from Lahutza Va'arak. When the husband comes home, so this person who was not the husband who had been there, he split like this wall that was made out of hutza, like of palm leaves, and he ran out the door. So Amar Rava, it's a shoya. So Rava says the wife is permissible to him. In other words, in Akinami they should not have been alone together, but im ita the avadi sura, if they'd had intimate relations, irkusei avamirkas, he would have just been hiding. In other words, he would have hid and then escaped when the husband didn't see. But the fact that he was willing to be seen by the husband. That lends credence to the fact they didn't have relations. Now, just one second, then we'll take questions, okay? Hahu Noef, the Al Gabe Dahi Intita. There was this, you know, adulterer that had, you know, that came, it sounds like he had relations with the woman. Ata Gavra Salik Noef. So the husband came, and the Noef, you know, left. Ate Bikili Baba, and he hid like near the curtain near the door. That's the way the Ran understands it. Habamachtan Takle Taman. So there were these are dates, right? Dates?
Yes.
Cress. So there was cress that was lying there to be dried, whatever. Tamin and chivya, a snake had tasted some of them. Whatever it is, it was dangerous to eat them. By mare debate lemechal minhano takle. So the head of the household wanted to eat from the cress, below daita de intito, without the knowledge of the wife. Amarlehu noef. So then the noef who was there calls out, lo techu minhon, don't eat them. The tamin and chivya. In other words, the cress is poisonous. The noef is hiding behind the curtain. He sees the husband about to eat the cress. He says, don't eat this. Torminisht essen. He says, it's dangerous. So Amarava, it's the sharia. So Rava says the wife is permissible to the husband. Im ita davari sura nichale delechu v'lemo. Because had he committed, illicit relations with the wife, he would have wanted the husband to be dead. Dechtiv kinieifu v'dam bidehon. So the pasuk says they have relations and they have blood on their hands. Now, I'm not going to read these two lines because the one who's Messiah is going to do this, but the Gemara says that's obvious, that's an east, so why did he even have to tell me? So I might have thought that in Achinami, maybe he wants the husband alive because there's something like more tasty. Mayim genuvim yimtaku. In other words, stolen water tastes sweeter. So sometimes the thrill is having relations with a woman who is married for people who do those things. So I would have thought maybe he was no wife. So the Gemara is not this way. Okay, what do you want to say?
The case that we're talking about where the woman says, "Oh, it wasn't you. It must have been one of these merchants." It has to be. She has to be married to a kohen, right?
So,
because otherwise it wouldn't make. So, what's the difference? So,
it has
to be married to a coin.
Yeah. So, one second.
He said it was these merchants. If it wasn't you, then it was the merchants.
Was it rape?
Yeah.
It has to be a coin.
Yeah.
She wasn't raped. It was yours.
Yeah.
She's out.
But the thing is.
That was why she's saying it.
Yeah. Well, the issue.
It was a regular guy, not a Yisrael. So what?
Yeah, so if you look at the Ran, two lines to the bottom on Sadi Aleph and Man Aleph, so the Ran says, Ha'itta Eshet Kohen Haita. Yeah, he says, that's the way the Ran has it. But, it could be, in other words, she's having consensual relations with him.
That's not the case then.
She's a sultan.
She's
killed. But you have to have Adam and things like that in Hasra, in order to execute the woman.
She's going to say.
In other words, I could hear Sfarada say that could be that way, but he says here Aisha Coin. Okay, now I'm going to wrap this up now, and then that'll be it. Okay, now first of all, it's nice to have everybody here. Let's go with everybody. It's more of a chizuk when everybody comes to the Daf Yomi.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So don't give that look. But so the fact that a woman does not have any children, isn't that proof that his he's not shooting correctly?
No.
Could be our problem.
Could be her, yeah.
You speak to the lady right next to
her. All right. All right.
Why is it so important for these rabbis to go against the Torah? For what? A small percentage of women who might lie.
Who's going against the Torah?
They decided that if a woman says that she was a Kohen,
So remember, this is the Ran we spoke about yesterday. So is the halacha min haTorah that she's believed, or is the halacha min haTorah she's not believed? So if the halacha min haTorah that she's believed, but the Chachamim were concerned that now the women are lying. That's what the Chachamim were concerned. Now the women are lying. So they're the Afkinu Rabban and the Kiddush Minei. Or the halacha could be that she's not believed, but they initially thought that there's so much embarrassment in making this allegation that we're going to believe her, and then they put the halacha back to the way it had been previously.
But
who's violating halacha?
So now the final shot is that the woman is believed. No, the final shot is that she's not believed.
For those three claims that we said in the Mishnah, then we tell her to stay with the husband, except that the Gemara, the Gemara had a little bit of a problem with it, but basically she's not believed. That's
right.
Correct.
So then it's against the Torah, right?
Let's focus again. Okay, so again, according to the pshat that the Ran gives, so she min haTorah, she is believed, But how is it that they don't believe her if she's believed in our Torah? So he says, Afkina Rabban al-Kiddushim Ineh. The Chachamim uprooted her original Kiddushim, because whenever you're Mekadesh, it's Kedat Moshe of Yisrael. In other words, you're Mekadesh according to whatever. Okay, one time. According to the second shot that he quotes, Minat Torah, she's not believed in Minat Torah from the get go. But they felt that the claims initially were like such, you know, caused such embarrassment that we're going to, you know, say that we're going to believe her in this case because of all the kisufa. But really, technically, Minat Torah, she wouldn't be believed. So originally, we're going to believe her and we're going to cut her slack and tell the husband to divorce her because we don't think that a woman would come to Beis Din and lie. But then afterwards, they said, no, Taka, women would lie. Okay, now what's the question?
So what you just said about uprooting the
right, Afkina Rabbana.
That only works for a Eshet Kohen. It doesn't work for the issues of A, not having children, and B, painful intercourse.
No. So, again, with the Eshet Kohen, so there was the issue, the issue is... that we're going to tell her, the issue is how can we tell her to stay remarried to the husband. So the second case was that she says Shemayim b'ini l'b'incha, she says that you're impotent. So the Mishnah said, this is yesterday's Gemara, the Mishnah said that Yasu Derek Bakasha. So the question means Yasu Derek Bakasha. So either it could be that the Chachamim are going to pray for her that she'll be able to have children, or another pshat is that we speak to the husband and try to induce him to divorce the wife. It would be another pshat. But that doesn't run afoul of anything we said before. In other words, even if it's true, the fact that we would say, you know, don't get divorced. And then Netula Nimin HaYehudim, remember that was that she took a neder. So originally we thought that, you know, she took the neder because she's got pain and intimacy, but now they don't believe her so much. But they say that he'll be made for his chelek in the neder. That's what the Gemara is saying, all right?
No, I understand, but it still doesn't answer the question.
What is the question?
So the question is, why are they so concerned?
Why are they?
I mean, they're willing to have women go through pain in order, just because there may be some women who lie. They're willing to let women to allow women who they would normally believe that they who want children not have children because they're worried that some of them might lie.
Yeah, so amen. So Chazal were concerned that the women were lying. So with the case with the impotency, so there again. So one shot is that the Chachamim will pray that they will have children, or they'll try to speak to the husband and try to induce him, you know, to peaceably divorce her. All right.
So that means that if she is believed, the rabbis would not force him to divorce her.
No. Originally, the Mishnah says initially that if she's believed, we would force him to divorce her. In other words, we would force him to divorce her. Now we don't believe her; we're not forcing him to divorce her. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. All right. Now,
Artsville, by the way, says yes. Derek Bakasha.
Yeah.
Says Yevakshu Emena Shelot to Siflama Ken.
Okay. Different shot. Okay. Let me just wrap this up. Okay. Okay. All right. Now, first of all, again, thank you everybody for coming. First, I want to thank especially the sponsors tonight. That's Joyce and Michael Frank, Jessica and David Jacob, Daniel Chodadadian, Josh Kirshner, Miriam and Yosef Rachmani, and Fran and Marvin Resmovitz. And I can tell you, there's one additional anonymous donor, a person who doesn't normally come to Daf Yomi, but out of his generosity, he decided he came forward. He said he wanted a sponsor, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu should give him and his wife and whole family much, much bracha and hatzlacha. Okay, then also it's a privilege, and we're very happy that Sal Berger is being with us tonight. And yeah, it is the Berger Daf Yomi, and Sal Berger, you know, made gave a contribution to the shul years ago, so the Daf Yomi name for his family, and it's a zechus to have you with us, Sal, and you should have many years of good health. Remember, you know, not so many years ago that you were in a very different situation. We're happy that you're here healthy, and you and your wife.
And not sunny Florida.
Yeah, well, he's going to be in sunny Florida in a few hours, but we wish you and your wife many years of health and happiness. Okay, and then I also want to thank our Sunday Magid Eshir, and that's Dr. Michael Frank, Rabbi Dr. Barak Greenfield, Rabbi Dr. Lieber Cohn, and Dr. Avi Goldberg. It's heavily weighted for doctors with that thing. I think, is everyone a doctor there? You're all doctors. Only doctors can give the Daf Yomi on Sundays. Okay. So, okay.
You could still take part.
All right. Now, this Shabbos, we're laying Parshas Bo. And one of the mitzvahs in the parsha is HaKodesh HaLacham Rosh Chodeshim. This month is, the new month for you. So there's an idea that now HaKodesh HaLacham Rosh Chodeshim stands for the proposition that, you know, time is in your hands. Time is a very valuable commodity. He says, the Sforno says, he says, Mikan ve'elach yu ha-chodeshim shalachem la'sopahem kirtzonchem. You get to do whatever you want with your time. He says, when you were slaves, you couldn't decide. The master says, do this, do that. I know people feel they work. It's like slavery. But the point is, everyone, that's the biggest commodity that we each have in life to decide how we spend our days, our weeks, where we do with it. In other words, this is the beginning of the freedom that they get to choose what they do with time. And that's a tremendous gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives each one of us to decide how we spend our time. Now, there's a Gemara, and this is from Rav Simon, who's one of the Rosh Yeshiva Yishuv Yitzchak Chanan. There's a famous Gemara in Masechet Shabbos on Kufim Zayin Beis. It talks about Rav Lazar ben Arach, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Chamar de Porgitu, Maya de Tiyumsiv, Kipko. Not to this one, I'm sorry, next line. He says, Reb Lazar ben Arach ichlo hatam. Reb Lazar ben Arach came to the locality where Porgita and Yumsis were. So the Gemara says that Porgita wine was very delicious. You know, it's like you imbibe that wine, like you can't put the cup down. And this Maya de Diumsis, the Diumsis water, also fantastic. So he says he went to this locality, Imshich Batrayu, and he got like pulled into it. It's just like this is the thing that meant everything for him. Iyakir Talmude, and his whole learning, he forgot his learning. Reb Lazar ben Arach was one of the best Talmidim of Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai. He had five Talmidim, the Mishnah Pirkei Avot says, and according to one version, Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai said, if all my Talmidim were like on one of the jewelers, the jeweler's scale, so all my Talmidim on one side and he's on the other side, he would pull them all down because he's Mayana Mitgaber. He's like got all this new, you know, thinking. He's got all these chidushim. So he forgot his learning. He says, He says, Ki hador ata kam lemikra b'sifra. When he came back, he got up to read from a sefer Torah. By the mikra chodesh zelachem, he wanted to read the pasuk in this week's parsha chodesh zelachem. His amar hachareish hayalibam. His hachareish, instead of reading hachodesh, his hachareish. In other words, he's not reading the word right. Hachareish means like a deaf mute, but the marsha says like his heart, which had been like a mayana mitgaber, became like a stone. In other words, hachareish and hayalibam. It was their hearts were like deaf mutes. He says, so the Chachamim were Mavakesh Rachamim for him, and he got his learning back. He says, so that's what the Gemara connects this to, a statement of Reb Nehorai, who says, a person should be Gol L'Makom Torah, exile himself in a Makom Torah, place of Torah. Don't say the Torah will follow me, because your chaverim, your colleagues, are the one who sustain the Torah. If you move your, in other words, it's not like Rav Simon was saying, it's not just using the time for Torah. The sviva is important. You're with the chevra, the people who are studying Torah. He says, V'al bina ch'al tishayin. Don't rely on your understanding. So Tana lo Reb Nehorai shmo, Reb Nechemi shmo, v'amri lo Reb Lazar ben Arach shmo. Some say that who's Reb Nehorai who says that a person should be gol l'makom Torah and not rely and that the yikar l'chaveirim. That's Reb Lazar ben Arach. V'lama nekroshu ben Nehorai shman hirin nechachami ba'alacha. Why was he called Reb Nehorai? Nehorai means like a light. He would illuminate everyone in learning. Now, Reb Nehorai also stands for the idea, like if a person, it's like bad to break one's learning. In other words, if you're learning and then you interrupt the learning, that has very bad repercussions. So Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt speaks about this in his Sifos HaMusar, and he also connects this to a Gemara that we learned in Masechet Nedarim about Rabbi Akiva. I'm sure people remember. So the Gemara describes Rabbi Akiva. So he was a shepherd. He didn't have a lot of learning, and his father-in-law you know, was Kabbalah Savua, and he makes a neder that I'm cutting them off from any of my property, because my daughter married somebody who I'm not happy with this fellow my daughter married off. You know, I showed them before. Let me come back to Rabbi. I left one thing out, Rabbi Ben Arach. One second. Let me come back, and we'll come back to Rabbi Akiva in a second. There's a Medrash Rabbah on this in Kohelet, but it's also in Avot Rabbi Natan. It says, Chamisha Talmidim, Ayudal Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, the Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had five Talmidim, Kuzman Shea Kayama Yoshun Lefanav Shiniftar, when he passed away, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Hahul Yavne, so the Talmidim went to Yavne, which was a Makam of Torah, that's where the Sanhedrin, the seat of the Sanhedrin after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. Balak Rablaz Ben Arach Etzel Ishto Le'emaus, but Rablaz Ben Arach followed his wife to this town Emaus in Eretz Yisrael, a different place. He says, Makom Mayim Yafim V'Nayim Be'Yafe. It's like the spa. The waters were good there. And the creature comforts. Himtin Lehem Shevo Etzlo. He was waiting. He thought they'll all come to me. They'll all follow me. He says, V'lo Ba'u. They didn't come. He says, then the letter says, Kevan Shlo Ba'u B'Kesh L'Echatzam. So he wanted to go where they were. V'lo Hinachto Ishto. The wife didn't want to let him. Amra Mit Sarich L'mi. He says, Who needs who? So Amarla Hain Srichim Li. He says they need my Torah. He says Amralo. So she said to him, Chemet Hachbarim. If you have like a little leather pouch with grain in it, which the mice like to go and eat, is Midar Kolalei Chetzami. Who goes to who? Hachbarim Eitzal Chemet. Do the mice go to where the food is? Oh, Hachemet Eitzal Hachbarim. Or the Chemet goes where the mice are. Shamala V'Yashavla Atshachak Tamido. So he stayed where he was, and he forgot his learning. And then eventually they come to him. So that's Reb Lazar ben Arach. Then Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz mentions, now we have Rabbi Akiva. So again, so Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law makes this neder. And so, but the wife is happy, and he goes off to study in yeshiva for 12 years. He comes off, and he comes back home, and he hears, like, this bum neighbor talking to his wife. She says, your husband, you know, you married, such a lousy, you know, schlechte mensch for a husband. He went off, he left you here alone, he's studying in yeshiva the whole time. So, oh, I'm saying, 12 years. And then he overhears his wife say to the neighbor, you know, if we're up to me and he wanted to study another 12 years, I'm happy with it. So he goes back and he can study his yeshiva for another 12 years. So the question that everybody asks, Mashima Olam, why couldn't he walk in and say, you know, dearest, you know, thank you. thank you for supporting me for the past 12 years. I'm so grateful for this. Why couldn't he even come in for a minute? So Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz says, the key is that a person doesn't want to be mafsik, interrupt in the middle, meaning, like he compares it to, let's say I have water, I'm trying to heat the water up. If I put the water on the range for a minute and then take it off, it cools down. So if I keep doing this, the water never gets to a boil. If I keep putting it on, taking it off, never gets there. So a hefsek is very detrimental for learning. And that's the same thing with Reb Lazar ben Arach. So, you know, the ikar, I mean, you know, if in my view, if you want to take a pulse to see where is a person holding in terms of his ruchnius or her ruchnius, you know, ask them what they're learning. What's their, you know, find out what they're learning is. How much time are they spending learning? What are they learning? Who are they learning with? Who are they learning from? What sfarim are they looking at? It tells you everything. You don't need to know anything more. You find out what the person's learning. Person's not learning anything, that tells you something. Person's learning, you know, 10 minutes a day, Rashi, Chumash with Rashi, that tells you something. If a person's learning, you know, deeper Sfarim, or he's got Sfarim that are like not Al Pi Masora, that tells you something. If a person, when he learns, he puts his feet up on the table and leans back, that tells you something about the person. When you learn, what is a person should comport themselves when they're learning Be'ema, Be'ira, Veretet? Is that their attitude they have towards Torah when they're in shul? Is that their attitude they have? Okay, one second, somebody, one second.
Yeah, well, Sean.
All right. Is that the way they have? So the learning is a litmus test. Learning is a litmus test. It's like taking a person's pulse. You see, if the person has got a pulse of 30, you know, they're like, you know, in gehakta suris, you know, or they got a healthy pulse. Is the respiration good? Everything comes from the learning. So a big yashkoch to all the people who've been learning Daf Yomi, and I hope you all continue on. But the ikar is to continue on day after day after day, not to break it off. You come one day, you learn, you know, come 10 days later, it doesn't, I mean, it's something, but it doesn't work as well when you do each day. If you keep the kviyas each day, then that's a wonderful thing for learning. And again, I'm grateful for all the people, all the supporters. And now I think we're ready for a seam. Now, Michael, would you be willing to be assigned the Masechta? Would you do that?
No.
Okay.
He
wanted to be Makabi Gil.
You do a Sunday. No, you do a Sunday.
He's our guy. No.
Okay. Okay. Yosef, they want you for this. Now. Okay. Now. Then let me see. Okay. Now, would they?
Sunday's off.
Okay. 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 So I tell you what. So you'll be Messiah. I said, David, you'll do the Hadron for us.
Okay.
Okay. And then, Josh, where's Josh? Josh.
Straight ahead.
Yeah. Do you feel? Can you just do the first line in the Mishnah, the Masechet Nazir? It's right over here, and you'll prepare one line while he's finishing up and doing the Hadron. Okay. So take the one, take the Gemara, and you'll do one line in the Mishnah. Okay. So
now,
Okay. Okay, now we're ready for you, Yosef. Let's go. And when we get to the Kaddish, please go by the Mechitza or not here, okay? All right, go ahead.
Pshita, it's obvious that if the adulterer really slept with the wife, they would let him die. So the fact that he said, don't eat it, he didn't really sleep with her. Now the tema is your Avad. You might have thought that the adulterer. He wants the husband to stay alive. The nicha le de lo ne mata baal. He doesn't want him to die. The tahani in tate ilave maim ganavim taku velechem sitarim inaem. As Rabbi said, he would rather him stay alive because stolen waters are sweeter. The fact that he's alive and she's still married. It's
more tempting
for them.
Kamash
Malan, that's not the case. Hadron Allah,
okay,
wait,
go ahead. Hadron Allah, go
ahead. Hadron Allah.
He's doing the first line in Nazir.
He's in Nazir.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, wait a second. Josh, have a seat. Listen, Josh is going to read the first line in the second Nazir. I was a little derelict before. I should have given a special acknowledgement to our president, Stephen Roth, who's with us, and it's very nice to have you with us. Thank you very much. Okay, Josh, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay. Kol kiyunye nazirus, kinazirus. So any kinyan of nazirus is like nazirus. So meaning if you say different pronunciation of nazirus, but that's what you mean, that that's also chal on that on nazirus. So and ha omer aha hare zen nazir o eha naaz nazir. Haomer ehe hareze nazir, o ehe nae nazir. So this is talking about if you are giving a partial mention of nazir, it's like, what is it going to mean?
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.